Welcome, everybody, to episode number 22 of the Average Jake Firefighter Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Owens from the Average Jake Firefighter blog. Before we get started with today's topic on the podcast, just want to give everyone a huge shout out for continually sending me messages and coming up to me in person and thanking me for, you know, just the stuff that I do on the podcast, which is kind of weird. Because I really do, I mean, it motivates me, don't get me wrong, but I do this because I feel like I have a voice and I feel like I have something to say and I want to give a voice and a perspective that's maybe not being shared out there in the fire service. I feel like my voice is a little bit unique, even though that this space is kind of crowded. I don't think that there's too many fire service podcasts. I don't think that there's too many fire service conferences because we all have a unique perspective that we can share, and that somebody that resonates with somebody, that it will speak to somebody. But I appreciate every person that comes up to me. Specifically, we just are coming off the heels of the Fireground Commander Conference, which I have the great honor to assist with and be on the staff and help Ben Martin from over at Embrace the Resistance run. And I had several people. In fact, one person who's an avid listener of the podcast came up to me and said, I was the reason he was at the Fireground Commander Conference. He lives in North Carolina, and he listened on the podcast, and he heard Ben's episode where we talked about everything at the Fireground Commander, and so he signed up and drove from North Carolina up for the conference for all 3 days. So that's really, really awesome to hear. You know, humbling to hear, awesome to hear, but, you know, just such great interaction. The Fireground Commander Conference this year was phenomenal. Just as good as last year, if not better. Nick Martin's class really was a hit. Jeff Shoup talking about engine company stuff and some Cleveland fire history. Mike Gagliano, he tore the house down with his Firehouse Rock speech. Just so much good information. John Dixon with his normalization of deviance. Christopher Nam with building construction. I could just see the wheels turning in everybody's heads. We had about 190 registrations with about close to 200 people, including the staff. And again, you could just feel the energy in the room. You could see physically people thinking. And that's the whole point of these conferences, is to get you to think. Not necessarily to take it as gospel, right? Like, these guys are sharing what they know, and they want you to engage, and they want you to question them. They want you to question it. They want you to go back. In fact, after last year, I had a conversation with a lieutenant in my fire department, and he was, hey man, I was listening to this guy talk at the conference, and I believe he was referring to Dennis Laguerre, and I don't think his friction loss numbers are right on this 3-inch hose. So when I go back to the firehouse, I'm going to pull our stuff out and I'm going to flow test it and all of that stuff, because I just don't think that this guy's right. And my answer to that was, that's awesome, but he wins. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, he wins because you listen to him and you don't believe what he's saying is right. So now you're going to go out and train on it. So not only does he win, we win, you win, the citizens win, everybody wins, because you decided that you want to go question that thought, and so now you're going to go out and train on it and prove it to yourself. I think that is a tremendous attitude, and it rolls right into what I want to talk about on the podcast today, talking about education in the fire service and a place that I feel is one of the most underutilized things in the fire service. And so we're going to get into that in just a few minutes, but I want to thank on the front end, again, everyone who came up at the Fireground Commander Conference, all the people who support me, Pete Lamb, Steve Green from, Pete Lamb from the Firefighter Training Podcast, Steve Green from Five Alarm Task Force, Dalmatian Productions, John Dixon, Ryan Pennington, Ben Martin, I mean, just a host of others, Andy Starnes, Chris Baker, John Hayowick, Sean Egan, the Do Work Podcast, Stephen and Cody, man, just so many people have just continued to motivate me by putting out their own stuff and making me want to get better, by encouraging me. Anybody who ever comes up and says thanks or writes me a letter or sends me an email it is a motivating thing for me, and it makes me feel like this is all worthwhile, that putting out these now 22 episodes is worthwhile. So I just want to say thank you. I know if I left somebody out, I apologize. I'm sure I did, but you know that just because I didn't mention you maybe by name, it doesn't mean that I don't, care for you, and it doesn't mean that you don't motivate me, and it doesn't mean that you're not inspiring me every day to get better. Also, quick shout out to Northern Starfire, Jeff Dykes, tremendous help with the Fireground Commander Conference, giving us a Fireground Compass to give away at the conference. That was tremendous. Didn't have to do that, and I know the guy who got it personally, and I know he's already put it into use, and so hopefully we'll be getting some feedback on that in the near future. Additionally, Taylor's Tens, they make metal helmet fronts. Go to taylorstens.com, pick up a metal helmet front. You won't be disappointed by talking to Taylor. And it's not going to be some click down menu, like you get this. Now he's going to send you concept art. It's going to be a personalized experience when you get your helmet front. Vanguard Safety Wear, makers of the MK1 Fire Glove. Those things are awesome. Just used them last shift while doing some training. They just get better and better every time I wear them. So go to Vanguard Safety Wear and check out those MK1 Fire Gloves. And lastly, again, just each and every one of you guys that continue to support me every day, listening to the podcast, all of those things. I hope you enjoy everything that you do, and I want to give you good content. And if you want to be a guest, if you have something to say, I want to give you a voice. So hit me up on all the social media platforms that I'm out there. I'm on Instagram at Average Jake. I'm on Twitter at Average Jake FF. Email address hdf561@comcast.net. And of course, I've put my phone number out here a couple times, 804-641-8310. If you just want to talk about the fire department, you can text me. Just ask Cody from the Do Work podcast. We text. I send him some things and all of that stuff. So, and I do that with a lot of people. Like if I see something interesting in the fire department, if you're on my fire department text group, you're going to get it. I'm going to blast it out to you. So, but that's all I got for the beginning. Let's roll into one of the most underutilized tools for your education in the fire service today. Questions. Knowledge is a powerful tool. It is the master of your tools. It is where your tools come from, because without knowledge, there is nothing. Let's take that one step further. Knowledge is the ultimate weapon. It trumps all other weapons. Thought is what wins. The mind is what wins. Knowledge is what wins. And you gain knowledge by asking questions. Which questions should you ask? Simple. Question everything. Don't accept anything as truth. Question it all. When you don't understand a word, get out the dictionary. When you don't understand a concept, break it down until you do. When you don't know how something works, dig into it until you do. Ask every question that comes to mind. That is how you learn. And most important, question yourself. Question yourself every day. Ask yourself, who am I? What have I learned? What have I created? What forward progress have I made? Who have I helped? What am I doing to improve myself today? To get better, faster, stronger, healthier, smarter. Is this what I want to be? Is this all I've got? Is this everything I can give? Is this going to be my life? Do I accept that? Ask yourself those questions, those hard questions, and then answer them truthfully. And realize that all of us can do better. We can be better. And it starts when you begin to ask those questions. So ask the hard questions of yourself and find the path to progress and discipline and to freedom inside the answers. And that, of course, is not my words. That is a passage from the book Discipline Equals Freedom Field Manual by Jocko Willink. Anybody who's ever listened to the podcast knows that I'm a big Jocko fan. And that passage leads into what I wanted to talk about today. But that passage is exactly right. I don't know anybody, and no matter what profession you do, you know, in this podcast we talk about the fire service because it's a fire service podcast, but I don't know anybody who was, quotation marks, you can't see quotation marks because it's a podcast, but I'm using quotation marks, born to do whatever it is that they do. I think most of the things we do now are learned. There may be some people with some natural ability, but most of the things we do are learned. We take that natural ability and we harness it and we add knowledge and education and training into all of these things, and then we become better at what we do. I know I like to joke around, and not necessarily a joke, but I tell people that I feel like I was put on this earth to be a firefighter. But not all of that came naturally. Some of the tactile stuff did, but not all the knowledge-based stuff. I'm not good with numbers. I'm not good with numbers. They don't imprint in my brain. They just don't. They don't stick. Like books, quotes, certain things like that, those things stick into my brain. Numbers just don't. So I constantly review the numbers. I constantly look up smoothbore orifice sizes and the GPMs that come out of them so that I can, you know, remember them. The stack tips on your engine or your portable deck gun, your Blitzfire. I constantly am reviewing those things so I can try to get them to stick, or so that I can remember them when the time counts. And sometimes I'm good at it and sometimes I'm bad at it, but I continue to strive for that mastery and acknowledging my weaknesses. I'm not a very good rope guy. So what do? I bought a book on ropes and I tie knots. And I try to, especially when I was assigned to a rescue company, we would spend an entire day training on just ropes, knots, and haul systems because I needed that repetition, and we did it once a cycle. I needed that repetition to get good at that particular task. It was not a natural ability for me. So I learned how to get better at that. I researched things. I didn't understand critical angles. So I went out and I researched them. I read about them. I deployed them in training scenarios. I tried to deploy them on scenes in real life scenarios, all of those things. And I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. No one is. But the point is that we need to continue to gain knowledge and to push ourselves, especially in the fire service. I say this all the time to people. We need to know everything that we can so that we can help everyone we can. And again, you're never going to know everything about the fire service, right? I have not yet met one person that knows everything about the fire service. And there are some tremendous firefighters, fire officers out there that are way smarter than me. Guys like, I've interacted with John Salka, John Norman, Kurt Isaacson, Ben Martin, who I think is a genius and a visionary. I mean, so many, Andy Starnes, some of these like next level players, and Mike Champo, Mike Dugan, all these guys, and they still don't know everything about the fire service, but they are constantly striving for knowledge. These guys that are at the top of the game, that people are coming to them. People are coming to them to teach their classes. They're still trying to learn and gain knowledge. One of the best examples of this is Kurt Isaacson. When I went to the CFT ODP, Kurt Isaacson is a national speaker. He is one of the most respected battalion chiefs in the country, especially when it comes to engine company work. People pay him to come talk at their fire conferences. But when John Norman stood up and spoke, he was in the back of the room taking notes. And that's a guy that's at the top of the game. So if he is humble enough to do that, then we should all be taking that example. And so that rolls me into what I think is one of the most underutilized tools in the fire service today to gain knowledge and to gain that training and to just, you know, to really start to master different pieces of our craft, and that's the National Fire Academy, or NFA. A lot of people look at the National Fire Academy and they're immediately turned off. And I think part of that is because of the name. National Fire Academy. Maybe they should think about changing the name, because when people think of National Fire Academy, they think they're going to be doing live burns, and they're going to be doing the things they do at some of these other conferences like FDIC or Firehouse Expo, or even some of the small time conferences, just smaller size conferences. They're not small time. Smaller size conferences. They're going to be forcing doors and things like that. And that's not the mission of the National Fire Academy. You're not doing a lot of hands-on things at the National Fire Academy. Now, in the arson program that they run, they do some live burns so that fire investigators can get some hands-on stuff. But for the most part, the National Fire Academy is classroom learning, and they don't really cover hands-on skills. So let's start with what the National Fire Academy is. Reading directly from the website, the National Fire Academy, NFA, works to enhance the ability of fire and emergency services and allied professionals to deal more effectively with fire and related emergencies. Free training courses and programs are delivered at our campus in Emmitsburg, Maryland, online, and throughout the nation. And so I wonder if you heard one of the key words in there, free training. Free. And that is why I feel that the NFA is one of the most underutilized tools in the fire service, because it's free. It's free. You can attend an NFA class once a year for free. Room and board and travel stipend. So if you're flying, they'll pay for it. Not only that, if you fly into BWI or I think one of the airports in Washington, they'll come pick you up in the NFA bus. And then they'll take you back. Now, when I say free, and again, before I get into this too deep, full disclosure, I've been to the NFA a total of, I believe, four or five times. I'm a graduate of the NFA Managing Officer Program. And I want to get into that a little bit later in the podcast of what the Managing Officer Program is and some of the programs that they offer. But so I want to make sure that people understand that, yes, I'm a student. I've gone to the NFA. I'm a believer in the things that they're doing. And I've graduated one of their top-level programs. Not the top-level program, but I was accepted into that program. I was one of the charter members of the Managing Officer Program. In fact, I was in the first ever Managing Officer class, one of the first 50 in the country, because they split us up into two classes, 25 and 25, and I was one of the first 50 in the country to attend the Managing Officer Program. So full disclosure there, right? I want to put it out there that I'm a fan of the NFA. So what I'm telling you may come with a little bit of skewed perspective, because I do believe in what they're doing there. But it's not all good. I'm not going to say that everything there is great, but there are some great things educationally, cost effectiveness, and there's some nightlife and some opportunity for some fun. So again, National Fire Academy, free. Free training. Now, when I say free, again, they'll pay for your room and board, and it's on the NFA campus is an old college in Emmitsburg, so it's kind of an old town, and some of the dorms are a little bit smallish, but they're great. The, you know, you individual dorms, you don't have to share rooms. individual bathrooms. The food is pretty good. You know, again, I've been there going back for a couple of years. The cafeteria food is decent, and it's plentiful. And some of the off-campus eating areas are even borderline phenomenal, to be quite honest with you. So, free training. Now, with that being said, they'll pay for you your room and board. They'll pay for your travel. They'll reimburse you if you drive, all of those things. Like, I normally drive because I'm coming from Virginia, so it doesn't take me very long to get there. But people have gotten free plane tickets for flying, all of that stuff. However, when I say free, you do have to buy a meal ticket. Usually for what they call a week-long class, which is from Sunday to Friday, it's around, I think, $200. The last time I went was for a two-week class, so it was a little more expensive. I haven't gone for a week-long class in a while. But it was around $200 or $300. So that can have a little bit of out-of-pocket cost. However, during the middle of the day, they provide snacks and drinks. Like, you'll go into the break rooms, they have pastries, they have lemonade and coffee and all of those things. And that's free for the most part. They also have some vending machines that you can use. But so sometimes the meal plan thing turns people off. I'm very lucky that when my fire department sends me, they cover the cost of the meals. I'm sure a lot of other fire departments would do the same thing. You just have to ask for the money. But so that's where it starts to not get so free. There are also some other additional costs. And now they're good costs, but there's some other additional costs. For one, most of the classes that get there, they always offer you a class t-shirt. I have a couple. And you can get any kind of, I say a t-shirt, it's a polo shirt in actuality, and it's embroidered, and they do it right there on the campus at O'Leary's, which is like the campus store. And so they range in price on what kind of quality shirt that you want and how much embroidery that you want. So most people in the class usually get a class shirt. I say most people because not everybody does. Most people in the class usually get a class shirt. And so that's going to run you anywhere, depending on what kind of shirt you want, $20 to $40. You know, depending on the type of shirt you want. The very first shirt that I got, I think I paid $20 for it because it was the cheapest option that they had. The last shirt that I got, I wanted something a little bit nicer, so I paid a little bit extra. Also, class picture. Every class that goes there gets a class picture. You don't have to buy it, but they take a picture and they offer it to you for $10. Around $10. So again, not an extreme cost, but there's a cost. Class party. Every class has an opportunity to have a class party. The cheapest option, if you do it at the NFA, they usually do it for free or a significantly reduced cost. They have couple options you can do. You can do it at the Command Post Pub, or you can do it at the Log Cabin if it's open. Certain times of the year, it's not open. And they will cook steaks and potatoes or chicken and get some beer out there. Again, for either free or a really, really, really reduced cost. Sometimes, however, your class is a little bit overzealous and they want to do more than one class party. They want to do outings, okay? They want to do like an outing. So one of the classes that I was a part of, we wanted to do two class parties. So we did the NFA one, which was free. And then we did the... Then we went out to a restaurant in town called Dave and Jane's. It was great, but again, that costs money. Now, a lot of the restaurants offer student deals. Dave and Jane's does. I know I know the Ott House, that's pretty much the spot in Emmitsburg, does offer discounts to NFA students. So it can be a little bit cost effective, but it's going to cost you an additional money. So it's something to just be aware of. And then lastly, the social activities. So It doesn't cost much, but in order to go into the command post pub, and in order to use the gym that's there, and in order to to use the pool that they have, and all these things, you have to pay. I believe right now it's a dollar. At least the last time I was there was a dollar. You have to pay a dollar fee to the NFA Recreation Association. They give you a little card. They give you a little card that's got the dates on it for how long you're there, and that is the your card to get into the bar that's on campus. Now, I mean, if that doesn't sell you, I don't know what does. Get into the bar that's on campus, get into the gym that's on campus, get into the pool that's on campus, get into the basketball courts, be able to rent bikes, golf clubs, all sorts of things. You got to have that little card. And it only costs a dollar, but that's an extra dollar. And then, of course, once you do that, you're going to be getting into a whole other world, right? Because now you can go to the bar that's on campus that's literally steps away from your dorm. And at that bar, they're offering a ton of deals, usually about the beers are significantly reduced. I believe one year I was there, they were offering $3 pitchers of Sam Adams Summer Ale. And so we drank a lot of those pitchers of beer. So you got a lot of options there, but that could increase your cost of this free training. So that's something to consider right on the front end. And I don't want to belabor that point. And I know, like, maybe some of you are sitting through the podcast like, Jesus, this guy's still talking about, the cost that it goes. But I think that's something that that's a misconception, right? People see this thing as say free training, and they're like, oh, but then they get there, and they feel like they get nickel and dimed. Because that's what I felt the very first time I ever went, when I took command and control of target hazards. This was supposed to be free. My fire department paid for the meal plan, so I'm like, I'm not spending any money this week. And then it's, well, we're going to do a class party. And we're going to get a shirt. I'm like, well, it's the first time I've ever come. I'll get a shirt. And we're going to get a class picture. Yeah, you know, class picture would be cool. And then you go into O'Leary's and there's all sorts of NFA gear, NFA hat, NFA shirt. I'm like, man, my kids would like a shirt from the NFA, so I'll buy two shirts. And then I'm like, you know, I'd like a shirt from the NFA, so I buy another shirt. And it just starts to spiral out of control what this was supposed to be free training. If you have a class that wants to venture out or you go at the right time of the year, there's baseball in Washington. You're a hop, skip, and a jump from Washington, D.C. You can be in D.C. in probably 40 minutes if you drive to the metro station, hop on the metro, and then get into D.C. You can be there in about 40 minutes. So it doesn't take long, and it can get and you can end up in D.C. in 40 minutes. The next thing you know, you're at a Washington Nationals game. I know one year when I went, the Capitals were in the playoffs and the Nationals were playing baseball. So we went to a Capitals game one night and a baseball game the next night. So again, that's all well and good, but those are extra costs that you think that you're getting out of for free training. Additionally, Emmitsburg is right near Gettysburg, to which to me is one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And I encourage anybody to take an afternoon after class is let out and go tour Gettysburg. But that could cost money. You can ride through on your own, but you're not getting any context. So guided tours cost money. Even if you go buy the CD and the book that for your self-guided tour, costs money. So again, I don't want to belabor the point, but it's not as free as they set out, as they lay out. All right. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of it. Again, the National Fire Academy, that can be a misnomer, right? That can be a misnomer because you're not going to be taking your turnout gear with you. Maybe if you're in the fire marshal's portion of it, but you're not taking your turnout gear there, okay? You're not going to be burning. You're not going to be forcing doors. Probably one of the more popular set of programs that's out there is the Command and Control series. And these start Command and Control of Incident Operations, Command and Control of EMS Operations, and then they build from there. Command and Control of Target Hazards, Command and Control of Multi-Alarm, Command and Control of Natural Man-Made Disasters, all of these things, and they continually build on each other. Those are great classes. I've had the opportunity to take Command and Control of Target Hazards, and while it's not real, right, you're getting this education, and it's not real. There's a big argument out there of, you know, it's not real experience just because you trained on it. We can debate that at a later date. But what I can tell you is that I got the opportunity to fill every role in a command structure. Yes, it was training, but I got to be a fire branch operator. or branch leader. I got to be a IC. I got to be an IC aide. I got to be a PIO. I got to be a liaison. I got to be a logistics officer. I got to be a planning officer. I got to be a finance officer for a working incident. And that's essentially what we did. We would talk about these different target hazards, and then we would run a scenario, and you rotated these positions. One of the best opportunities I got in that class was when I filled the PIO role, and I'm sitting there, and they give you a packet, and you're filling it out, and the teacher comes up to me and goes, okay, in 5 minutes, you're going to go up to the front of the classroom, and you're going to give a press release. Okay. And so I was forced to write a press release. They stopped all the scenarios, and then all the PIOs from the groups gave different press releases. The instructors of the class also would come out and just like pretend to be the mayor and talk to the liaison, talk to the person running the incident, and ask political type questions. What are my constituents doing in there? You know, how much is this going to cost the taxpayer? You know, all of these things that we don't think about. You know, we're more mission focused, right? We're mission focused, and you know, we usually are like so like, you know, moth to the flame. All right, there's a fire in this mall, we're going to try to fix it, but we're not thinking about the whole 360 of everything. So, you know, that was a really, really eye-opening experience on what a command structure goes through. I can 100% guarantee that that experience helped me in my current role now, because the very first time I was in charge of a school fire, I drew back on that experience or that training that I had at the NFA, when the county manager, the director of the school board, the principal of the school, I knew how to address their concerns based on the training that I was given. Is that experience? I don't know, but it helped me, and it helped me understand their perspective, and it helped me help them better, and it helped them help me better. So that was, to me, a tremendous experience. And you get that at varying levels. One of the beautiful things about the NFA is that people have to bid for these classes to teach them. And so you're getting a wide variety of experience. The class that I took, Command and Control of Target Hazards, one of the guys was a retired battalion chief from Louisville, Kentucky, and one was a retired division chief from Santa Clara, California. So I got the benefits of two different even sides of the country on how to tackle these incidents. And I feel like that's invaluable. And that's what you're getting at the NFA. You're getting that type of level of experience. They have other stuff as well. They have a lot of what I call, and a lot of people call the NFA, like the bachelor's degree of the fire service. You know, when you go there, you're getting like college level classes. In fact, you can get college credit for the classes you take at the NFA. So a lot of them are like, a lot of people, a lot of guys in the fire department will go to the NFA and take these programs instead of going and getting bachelor's and master's degrees. I think there's a huge benefit to that. I think there's a huge benefit to that because they're offering things that are not just command and control as well. They offer incident management stuff. They offer INFERS program manager classes. They offer community risk reduction classes. There is a wide variety. The educational opportunities at the NFA are literally endless. And yet, they put out notices every month about classes that they can't fill, begging people to come take this class. And they cancel a lot of classes because they can't fill them. And I think that's a travesty when all it takes is for you to apply and say and put in that application, and they'll send you for free. They'll let you come for free. All you need is your department to let you have the time off. So that brings into more of some of the more formal programs that the NFA offers. And so the two flagship programs of the NFA are the MO, or Managing Officer Program, and the EFO, or Executive Fire Officer Program. The Managing Officer Program is a program for company-level officers, lieutenants and captains. The EFO is more for that chief-level executive fire officer. Again, as I said before, I'm a graduate of the MO program, and I was a part of the very first 50 in the entire country to go through that program. It was a great experience, and it was humbling to be even selected, because I'll be honest, I didn't think I was going to get in. So let's talk about the MO program. First, reading directly off the website, the National Fire Academy's Managing Officer Program is a multi-year curriculum that introduces emerging emergency services leaders to personal and professional skills in change management, risk reduction, and adaptive leadership. Acceptance into the program is the first step in your professional development as a career or volunteer fire and emergency medical services manager, and includes all four elements of professional development, education, training, experience, and continuing education. So that right there kind of sets you on the path of what you're going to be doing in this class. These are management and you know, level classes. You're not going to learn in the managing officer program the benefits of a 360 on a two-story townhome. And not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that's not that type of class. And again, that's one of the misclaimers. People see that National Fire Academy name and they're like, man, you know, all right, am I going to need my turnout gear? That's not what that's not the programs that are being offered. So in order to get accepted into the MO program, you do have to have some prerequisites. Before you can even apply, you have to have introduction to emergency response terrorism, introduction to ICS for operational responders, that's ICS 100, ICS 200, ICS 700, ICS 800, and you have to have the NFA leadership series. There are some other, you know, you have to have some other prerequisites. You know, it gets, a lot of this prerequisite training stuff too can be demonstrated through some other stuff. Like you can have fire officer one, or you can be a credentialed fire officer. You know, all of those type of things. You have to be in a certain time or rank in that company officer position. They don't want like brand new promoted company officers. And you have to have either the academic requirement, be considered for the managing officer program. You have to have earned an associate degree from an accredited institution of higher education, or earned a minimum of 60 college credit hours. So again, you have to do a lot just to even get into the program. When you get into the program, the courses you're going to take are your first year on campus, and it is a resident course, and you're going to go there for 2 weeks at a time. And so what they usually do, they bring in a class of about 25 or 30, and one set of 30 takes one class, one set of 30 takes the other class the first week, and then the second week they flip-flop them. And so then you take the class that the other ones took. I feel like this is very valuable, and I'll get to why in a few minutes. But so your first year on campus, you take applications of community risk reduction and applications of leadership in the culture of safety. Now, some of those titles don't sound very sexy. One of the things, and I didn't think so either. When I went, I was not exactly psyched to take those two classes. However, don't let the title fool you. They always say don't judge a book by its cover. Don't let the title fool you. I got a lot out of that applications of community risk reduction. Specifically, we spent about 3 days on the topic of cultural competency. And a lot of people, like when they hear that word, they're like, oh my God, another thing about culture and how it, you know, and I thought kind of the same thing at first, but then I started to delve into the class a little bit, and I realized that I didn't understand other cultures enough in order to be able to help them. And I don't have to understand, you know, or even agree with the way that they do business, but what I do have to do, what I was swore to do, was to help them through their problems. So I need to understand them enough to where they let me help them. And that class really brought that to the forefront. You know, it really, really did for me. And I think anybody that's really delving down into why we do what we do, we're here to help people. We hear this all the time. We hear that we're here for them and everything like that. Well, part of being there for them is being able to understand them a little bit. We don't have to, I'm not asking you to do 20 hours of research on a specific culture, but if you've got a lot of different cultures in your response area, it would probably be a good idea to, do a little bit of research, ask some questions on a call if one of them's willing to talk to you. Because we get this, several cultures where are male dominant, where the females don't make decision. If you don't understand that, you can insult that male and not even know you did it because you're asking mom about the kid and not dad. Or you're asking mom if she wants you to put up a smoke alarm and not dad. So that cultural competency class really, really helped me a lot. And even though I wasn't psyched about taking it, the applications of leadership and the culture of safety, that's, again, that sounds like it's all like wear your helmet, all that kind of stuff, but it really wasn't. It really was more trying to understand where we can reduce our risk, kind of like what I've talked about in The Risk Is Our Business, where we can reduce the risk and how we can lead people into that, how we can execute leadership to make people reduce risk and be safer where we can reduce it. Not don't go into a fire, but hey, when you go into that fire, why are you carrying around that air pack and not putting your mask on? And how we can demonstrate through leadership why people should do that. So again, the name of the class was not great, but I got a lot out of that one as well. In the second year, and so after you do the first year, you go home. You may have a project that you have to do. It depends. I know at the end of the program, you have a capstone project. And so when you go home, you meet with your fire chief or whoever, and you kind of discuss where you want your project to go. And they like the project to be in one of these four categories of the classes that you took. You kind of start talking to where your fire chief wants to go. The beautiful part about this program is that it can be anything that you want it to be. It can be anything that you want to be. It can be challenging to you. You can take a topic you don't know a whole lot about and delve into it. Just like Jocko said, delve into it so that you can understand it better and so that you can make your fire department better. That's the whole purpose of it. So I know personally, at the end of my 2 years, I decided that I wanted to challenge myself because I could easily do something on why we needed better nozzles or why we did better hose lines. But I didn't know enough about our infers reporting. So I wanted to try to increase our infers reporting efficiency through data collection. Again, it's kind of a boring topic, right? But I didn't know near enough about our infers data, and near enough about our infers reporting system it was like, oh, fill in all the boxes, bing bong boom. But we used that infers reporting for so much in my fire department. We used that to tell the board of supervisors that we need more money, and we use it to do all of these things, to figure out where to put a fire truck, to build the next fire station. We're doing all these things, and people don't do them accurately. So I wanted to delve into why. I wanted to delve into how we could do them better. And that challenged me. And I know my fire chief was extremely happy that I chose a topic like that, because that's not the typical firefighter topic. Not that I want to go sit behind a desk, but I felt that it helped me as a fire officer, and it helped me to train people on what the importance of filling out those infers reports accurately. So then you come back for your second year, and you'll take training and professional development challenges for fire and emergency service leaders and analytical tools for decision making. Again, all really good stuff. The analytical tools for decision making was a little boring. It's a lot of Excel spreadsheets, but they give you these tools in order to analyze cost and analyze, it's a lot of analytics to help you make better decisions. And then the training and professional development, that was actually really good. It helped delve down into how to develop training programs a little bit better and utilizing different forms of media to get your point across and to be able to train firefighters better. Because we know now, especially some of the firefighters we're getting in, that their attention spans are ridiculously short. They only want to sit on their smartphones. And so this actually gave us some ideas on how to use a smartphone to institute training in the fire service. I got a lot of value out of it. And of course, like any program, and this is no matter what class you take, whether it's NFA, FDIC, Firehouse Expo, Fireground Commander Conference, Journeyman Fire Conference, Firemanship PDX, the Art of Firemanship Conference, no matter any time you go training, you learn some stuff in the classroom, but you will learn a whole lot more at the bar. And that is where I got the greatest asset of going to the NFA, and specifically of participating in the MO program. I got to meet 50 people from all over the country with different ideas, different opinions, different solutions. And I'm still in contact with a great many of them today. A great many of them today. Guys from Pelham, New Hampshire. Guys from Crystal Lake, Illinois. Guys from Wyoming. Guys from Massachusetts. I mean, guys from all over the country that I can pick up my phone and call them if I have a question. We text each other. We even had our own closed Facebook group that people just dropped out. Hey, does anybody have access to one of these? Boom. Yep, I got one. I'll send it to you. That's a tremendous resource that you get just by going to one of these programs. Just by going to one of these programs. And we had discussions at the bar from everything from why the Capitals were better than the Penguins to why everyone wanted to even be in the program. What you were hoping to take back from the program. So that right there was one of the most valuable experiences. Two, what that also gives you is being around other firefighters from all over the country is perspective. Everybody always complains about their fire department. Everybody's always bitching. You know, people always say that if you handed a firefighter a $100 bill, he'd bitch that it was a $100 bill and not 20s. So, and I think that's true. A lot of firefighters like to bitch. I mean, that's one of the things we like to do, especially at that kitchen table. So everybody is never satisfied with their fire department. But when you go to the NFA and you see some of the things that you see, I know at least for me, I got the kind of feeling that my situation wasn't so bad. Is my fire department perfect? Nope, not even close. I feel like we're always striving to be better, but we're nowhere close to perfect. Nowhere close. We make mistakes. But I saw people that were in way worse situations. People that were still on 1980s technology for their portable radios. People that were, you know, putting their rigs together with duct tape. People that were like, man, we can't even get, our own personalized face pieces, much less a second set of gear. And then I got to thinking about all the benefits that I have in my fire department. Most of the fire stations where I work are great. They're clean. They're safe. The rigs are in, you know, our reserve engines are engines that some of these places would beg for as their first out engine. I have two sets of gear, multiple hoods, multiple sets of gloves. I get my paychecks never bounced. I make pretty damn good money to do what I do. No one's coming and repossessing our fire trucks, our gear. I got the most up-to-date technology that we have. I mean, we just got Bluetooth capability for our portable radios and our SCBA. That's insane to me. I never thought that would happen when I was a young kid with an elephant tube hooking up to a belt-mounted regulator. Never thought something like that would happen. So when you go to the NFA and you know all the things that you have and you start to talk to these other people with their problems and what they're having to do just to get the rigs out the door and to get people to come to work, and it to me, it provides you a tremendous amount of perspective and that you should be thankful for where you work. At least that's what it did for me. And maybe you go there and talk to somebody who's in the same situation as you are, and you can pick their brain for what they're doing. You can bring that knowledge back and go, hey, in Naugatuck, Massachusetts, they're doing this, and we're in the same situation. We should try this out. You just open your world up to a whole tremendous amount of resources, and it cannot be, there's no substitute for it. And anybody that's ever gone to any of these things and sat there knows it's true. Some of the best learning at FDIC happens at the CLADA after classes, or happens at Ike and Jonesy's, or happens at one of the other various bars that are in town. Some of the best learning ever happens there. I know some of the best discussions I had this past week at the Fireground Commander Conference were at the Union Hall on Tuesday, where we were having there drinking beer and talking about stuff that we learned about in class and how we can apply it. And I mean, that's where it's at. And at the NFA, that's in spades, because not only are you there with your class, there's always other classes going on. They have the FEMA Institute there as well, where they have people there, emergency managers from all over the country. There's people that are taking other classes. You're in the MO program, but this guy is in the Infers manager program, and this guy is in the EMS incident operations class. And you can sit there and talk about what they're doing in their class. You can gain that level of experience, and you can gain their knowledge, and you can gain their perspective. And that's healthy in any profession, not just the fire service. That's healthy in any situation. If you're coaching baseball for your kid's T-ball team, then maybe it would help you to get perspective from somebody else if you feel like you're falling short. And so that's one of the best parts about going to any class, especially that NFA program. The second of the flagship programs at the NFA is the EFO program, or the Executive Fire Officer. They actually have just made some tremendous changes to that program that I think is going to increase attendance. I'll be quite honest with you. After going through the MO program and having to go through those you know, basically 2 weeks there, 2 weeks every year for 2 years, and then having to write a project, I was not feeling too keen on going to the EFO. It was not something that I wanted to do. But now, because the old EFO program was 4 years long, one class every year for 4 years, and after every class, you basically had to write a 25, 30-page paper. Wow. I mean, that just seemed so daunting. And these are executive-level classes, right? I mean, these are classes that are not, you know, like fly-by-night type things, like you're not going to have to do any research or anything like that, right? Like you're not, you know, like these are not easy things. These are executive level. These are budget management classes, and these are how to deal with political figures and all these things. And it just was, to be quite honest with you, it wasn't a path I wanted to go down, especially for 4 years and having to do this program for 4 years. But a lot of people do go to the EFO instead of pursuing a master's degree. Or even pursuing a bachelor, you know, pursuing a master's degree, really, because you have to have a bachelor's to get into the program. But a lot of people, instead of going to get a master's, do the EFO. And a lot of people, instead of getting a bachelor's degree, because you have to have an associate's degree to get into the MO program, a lot of people, instead of getting a bachelor's, they have their associate's, and then they go get their MO certificate. And so that feels like they round out their training. But the NFA realized that this is pretty, you know, it's a daunting process, and it's taking executive level chiefs and or aspiring executive level chiefs out of their fire departments for you know, months at a time. Really, I mean, like, I know guys that have had to take off work to finish their project. So I mean, like, that's a big deal, right? Like, so what's the point of it? But reading directly off the website. The significant changes coming to the EFO program, which take effect in 2020, will result in an accelerated learning experience for students by offering residential courses and blended online learning from home or work. The NFA will shorten the program from 4 years to 24 months. Concentrated time frame allows for working senior fire officers to commit to the program. Other changes to the EFO program include 2 stipend trips per year, cohort learning that allows for groups of students to take EFO classes together, and a compilation of completion of a graduate level thesis as opposed to 4 applied research projects. The thesis is presented and defended at the last residential course session. So essentially, it is kind of like a master's degree. And they realize that they needed to shorten the program. And I can tell you, that cohort learning, being able to take the same classes with the same group of people, they did not offer that in the MO program at first. And I don't even know if they still are, because they want you to get some different experience. But I can tell you, out of the group of 50 that I was in the class with first, the 25 of us that were in the first week class, the first year first week class, and we're with together for that first 14-day, 2-week session, we blended together so good. We wanted to continue the following year with the program all together, and they wouldn't let us. They let us come the same week, but they split us up. They integrated some of the other 25 into our class. We still all hung out together, but we all wanted to be in class together. I mean, that 25 people that I went through the MO program with from the first year, we just had a cruise, like a reunion cruise. I didn't get a chance to go, but about 15 of the 25 went on a cruise together. That's a tremendous bond that you bring with somebody. So to be able to go through the EFO program with the same people, especially if you get along with them, have that option, that is just tremendous. It's a tremendous motivator. And it being from shortened to 2 years, I think you're going to see increased attendance into that. And I think it's something that's going to bring a little bit more value. I think they realize how the fire service is changing. And that's one thing about the NFA as well. They're constantly updating their programs. They're constantly going through these technical panel cycles where, hey, this has changed, so we have to do this. This has changed, so we have to do this. This has changed, so we have to do this. And update the program to meet today's fire service. And I really think it's a valuable thing. Again, it is one of the most underutilized programs in the country today. It's in a beautiful area of the country. The knowledge and education are second to none. The experience you get from interacting with other students is just tremendous. It cannot be replaced. And then a personal favorite of mine, we talked about Gettysburg a little bit earlier when it comes to additional costs. To me, not going to Gettysburg is also preventing you from missing out on a significant piece of education. If you want to go learn about critical thinking, strategic level thinking, management, logistics, anything that we do in the fire service, go to the Gettysburg battlefield. Go to the Gettysburg battlefield. There you will have lessons by either taking a guided tour or going on your own tour, looking at the different things, following the battle. You will have lessons on tactical patience, aggression, logistical movements, how you can be defensive but also aggressive. Like you can do, like for example, when General Lee retreated from Gettysburg, that's a defensive posture, right? He's retreating, but he did one of the most aggressive retreats in the history of the modern military. They forded a flooding out river to get away from the Union Army. They took a tremendous and aggressive move and a tremendous risk just to get away so that they wouldn't be overrun again and captured. I mean, that right there is a lesson that just because you're being defensive doesn't mean you can't be aggressive. And many, many other lessons that you gain just by going to Gettysburg and standing on top of Little Round Top. Standing where the 20th Maine did their charge down the mountain, and to think about the decision-making process and to even read about the decision-making process on the memorials, or to have the guided tour guides tell you about the background of it, because those guys are tremendous at what they do. They have to pass tests every year in order to maintain their Gettysburg certification. So they know so much about those battlefields. And just the town of Gettysburg itself is just such a beautiful sight to see. It's so historic, but there's so many lessons to learn. And that is that last piece of going to that NFA. You are close to one of the most famous battles in American military history. And you can learn so much from the successes and the mistakes that were made. And you get that opportunity almost for free by going to the NFA. They'll get you half the way there. All you got to do is get a little bit rest of the way up to Gettysburg. So not to belabor the point, but I think you should go to the NFA if you haven't got that already. But it's getting a little long. Obviously I like to keep these right around an hour, and we're probably a little bit over that. But to sum it all up, go to the NFA, get on the website, It's through the United States Fire Administration. Go on the website, pick out a class. They have application periods, so you can't just randomly apply. You have to go and you submit your application during the appropriate application period. So, but go pick out a class that you want. Start with the command and control classes and then expand from there. Okay, I think that's a great place for most street level firefighters and fire officers to start. Start at the command and control classes and then work up from there. After you go a couple times, maybe you'll want to do the MO program. Or maybe you'll want to do the EFO program. You know, you don't have to do MO before EFO. Or vice versa. So I really think it's benefit. I think it's beneficial. If you have any questions about it, I threw out all my contact information. I'll gladly talk about it more than through this medium. And that's about all I had today. Again, thanks for everybody for listening. I know this is a little bit different topic than I've tackled, but I really wanted to talk about why I believe in the NFA and why I think the NFA is something that's not being utilized enough. And if we don't utilize it, a tremendous resource is going to go away. It's government funded, and they're always looking to cut dollars and dollars and dollars from it. If we don't take a hold of this great opportunity in the American Fire Service, we're going to lose it. So don't let that happen. Don't let a great facility for learning take you away, get taken away from us in the fire service. Like I say every time we have a podcast, 1 hour in the gym, every day working on your physical fitness, 1 hour in the library, learning something about our job, getting that education that we need to be effective. And 1 hour out there on the drill ground doing some sort of hands-on training. You do that, you'll become a pretty phenomenal firefighter. Again, thanks to everybody who supports me on the podcast. Thanks for listening. If there's anything that you guys want me to hear me tackle, send me a message. Follow me on Twitter. Send me a message there. Email address, Instagram message. You've all got my phone number. Thanks for continuing to listen to the Average Jake Firefighter Podcast. I'm going to be putting some stuff up on the blog, so if you haven't been looking, there's about a couple years of content on averagejakefirefighter.com. Just thanks for everyone continuing to support me in this mission and coming along on this journey with me, because it is not just my journey, it's our journey. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, but stay aggressive.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.